I listened to that song when we first started practicing it, and it would bring tears to my eyes because I do have Jesus, and how can I want more than what I have? And yet, in my carnal nature, in my human spirit, that's an oxymoron, that's not right. In my carnal nature, I want more. I want more than God, I want more than Jesus, I want more. And that's my problem, because that always leads me down a path that ends in destruction, that ends in bad news, that ends in heartache, that ends in sorrow, because I'm not satisfied with what I have. And let me just really make this point. The reason I'm not satisfied with what I have is because I don't go to the Lord to know him, to love him, to talk to him, to hear him speak to my heart enough. Jesus says, come to me. Come. I give it freely. Everything. I give it to you freely. There's no cost. I'll pay the cost of whatever it is that you need. And yet, in my vanity and in my pride, I look at other men and say, well, why don't I have what he has? Or why can't I sing as pretty as Joey can sing? Why, Lord? I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to be better than I am. And you know, the Lord speaks to my heart and he says, Randy, I made you just like you are for a purpose. Because someone, Randy, someone needs you. Someone will listen to you and be blessed by you if you would only open your mouth and speak my word. Today, I told Larry whenever he began this journey to the cross theme, and we were talking about what that really meant, because with Larry, you can never really tell. He'll bring out, I'm going to do journeys to the cross. Okay. What does that mean? And then he has to kind of lay it out. Well, it's our journeys on our daily basis. What I just told you. My journey is so often to overcome my prides and my prejudices and my myself. That's my journey. And the Lord keeps, Randy, you need to learn. You need to learn. You need to learn. Today, Larry's message is journey to keep the new. Journey to keep the new. What does that mean? He loves stuff like that. And so let's find out what he's talking about. The very first thing that he has written down here is you must be born again. Born again. The scripture that he has is Jesus answered. This is John chapter 3 verses 5 and 6. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Now, I told the folks that's doing all the PowerPoint stuff and graphics today that I was actually going to do a little bit more than what Larry has written there. And I want, if you've got your Bible, turn to it. If not, I'm thinking that David's probably going to have this on the screen for you. But I want you to turn to the Gospel of John chapter 3 at the beginning. And Jesus is talking to a man named Nicodemus. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, so he was kind of like of our Congress. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, or teacher, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Well, that's not what Nicodemus came for, but that's what Jesus knew that he needed to hear. So Nicodemus replies, how can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asks. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Raise your hand. How many of you remember where you were and the situation you were in when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Raise your hand if you remember that. All right, pretty much everybody in here. Raise your hand if you remember the place you were at and the circumstances surrounding your natural birth. No one? Why is that? Well, for one thing, we say, well, that's just a baby. Now, I can remember things when I was 1 year old. I don't remember my birth, but I do remember things fairly early. And I bet all of us probably can if we really tried. But whenever we were saved, when we got saved, when we heard the joyous news, when we heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, and made that decision, I believe that this is who he says he is, and I want him to save me, save my soul. I want to live with him forever in heaven. Now, some of you were sorrowful for your sins. Some of you were joyful that there was such good news to be had, that someone told you this good news, and yes, yeah, sign me up, Jesus, I want that. Some of you, perhaps, are more, well, it was more of an intellectual exercise. On the one hand, I have heaven, and on the other hand, I have hell. Heaven good, hell bad. I make the choice for heaven. You see, if you were that way, I would question whether truly you're saved. And the reason I say this is because what Jesus says, for those who believe in me, salvation is of the Lord, is not of man. And for those of you who believe in me, I will save them. And I will keep them to the end. That's being born again. Larry always says it, and it's in the Bible, from being born from above. And Jesus says this, unless he is born of water and the Spirit, water being baptism and the Spirit, flesh humans give birth to humans. Flesh gives birth to flesh. But the Spirit of God gives birth to the Spirit. So all of you that raised your hands in this place today that says, yes, I am saved. Thank God I'm saved. All of you have been born again by the Spirit of God. And you are a new person. Paul says to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old had passed away. Behold, the new has come. Question for you. For those of you that's been a Christian for a while and lived your life and everything under grace, and you don't have to raise your hand on this because I know everybody would raise their hand. And some of you might go, ooh, ooh, ooh. How many of y'all sinned during that time against the Lord? How many of y'all sinned in terms of, have you neglected to give God glory and praise? Have you neglected communing with Him? Have you thoughts that are a lot more carnal rather than spiritual? Have you not striven to be holy as He is holy? Have you lied? Have you stolen? Have you done things and said things that you wish you hadn't done and said? And the answer for everyone in this room would be, yes, I have. I actually wore this as a prop because this kind of represents a lot of our thinking in terms of who we are in Christ as a new creation. The black represents my sin. And you see, I got lots of black. The gold represents what God is doing in my life. He's changing me from glory to glory. He is transforming me into something different than I was before I said yes to Jesus. But you see, this is wrong thinking. This isn't correct. Because what is correct is actually what I have underneath this. And I do have a clothes on underneath this sweater. When I come out of my sweater, hang on a sec. I have white on. And I have a gold tie. And white represents righteousness. The white in this shirt, it's the righteousness of God. And it's through Jesus Christ. Because I said, yes, Jesus, I want to be saved. Please save me. I was 7 when I got saved. And I remember it. It was in this church. I remember. I think it was in the pew right before where Judy's sitting. And I was trying to hide because the preacher was giving the invitation at the end of the sermon. But I felt it the whole time that this preacher was preaching. I felt it as a 7-year-old. I kept feeling, oh, Lord, I want to be yours. I want to be yours. But I was afraid to come out in public with all these adults looking at me. I was shy. That's hard to believe, isn't it? It's true. And I'm still shy, believe it or not. I think Vanessa was there, probably Jeff and Lana, but I don't remember them. I remember Vanessa. But I do remember that I got the courage to get up. I was laying there beside Mom, laying on the pew, you know, like all kids do. And I got up, and I walked up here, and I remember the preacher, big, you know, big dude. And, you know, I'm looking up like this, a little kid. And he said, Randy, what is it? I want Jesus to save me. And so he prayed with me. And, of course, he said, had my mom come up after and said, Randy's accepted Jesus. And we'll talk to him and we'll talk to his mom and we'll arrange baptism. And I was baptized the very next Sunday. Well, Sunday night is when we baptized. We didn't baptize during the morning service hardly at all. But we did it at night. The thing is, so often as Christians, we believe that all of our sins cling to us like dirt. We believe that, and it's not true. Our sins cannot condemn us. That's why we're a new creation in Christ. Before you knew Jesus Christ, yes, you were consumed in sin. You were born in sin. I've always had a hard time with that, but it's true. We're born in sin, and we're sinful through and through. But Jesus makes us a new person, and he gives us a new identity. No longer is it just me. It's, Lord, who do you want me to be? Who do you want me to be? Have you ever thought about that, who you are, for real? So often we just live life and we think, well, it's just the way it is. This is who I am. And to a degree, our personalities and the people that we hang with and our jobs and the things that we do, our interests, that all shapes us. But the fact of the matter is, God created you specifically for you. And he created you not who you want to be, even though we're drawn to that, but who he wants you to be. Colossians 3, again, Paul talking to the church at Colossae, verses 9b and 10. You have put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. We are made, and you've all heard this, but do y'all ever think this? You're made in the image of God. You're made in the likeness of God. You have his attributes living in you. And it's as strong as what we call your DNA in you. That's who you are for real. This body, it's going to go to dust one day. We're going to lay it all down. I'm going to lay this body down. I'm going to rise up. That's my thought anyway. I'm going to rise up my spirit, and that's who I am. And that spirit is being constantly shaped into this new identity. Have you ever thought, Lord, is this all that there is? Isn't there more in this life than what I'm experiencing? My friends, I will tell you that there is a lot more in this life than what you're experiencing, but what you want is not an experience, it's a person. And that person is Jesus. You know, that I say it and it sounds like, woo, that's so duh. But the problem that we run into is that we have a thirst for newness, don't we? Don't we? We want something new. I asked Paula, I said, okay, we're not having practice today after church because it's Mother's Day. What do you want to do? Let's do something. Let's do something. You know, something new. And it's just to tickle my fancy to do something different. Whenever I go to work, I talk to the people at work, and they say, well, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, I cleaned house, did the usual, same old, same old. That's what I did. But my thirst and my desire is something new. Jesus Christ can bring us to depths of newness that we cannot imagine. But you have to put in the effort and the want to talk to him to find out what it is for you particularly. You have put off the old self. How many of y'all feel like you're still wearing the old self? Paul says you put it off. Jesus says you're new in him. But you put off the old self with your old practices, and you put on the new self, which is being renewed. How's it being renewed? Through the Holy Spirit. He gives us a new mind. 1 Peter 3 or 2:2 says, like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Well, I thought I was saved when I was 7. What do you mean grow up into salvation? Salvation is a continual process. It never ends. I don't even think it probably ends even when we're in heaven with the Lord. I think the salvation continues. Salvation, what is it? It is being saved by God continually, in all things, at all times. How many of y'all want wisdom? Raise your hand if you want wisdom. Do you want wisdom? How many of y'all know how to get wisdom? Raise your hand if you know how to get wisdom. How many of y'all believe that you get wisdom through the Word of God? Ah, see, you're all smart. That's right. Like newborn infants long for pure spiritual milk. Pure spiritual milk is the Word of God. Long for the Word of God. In the Old Testament, you heard people say that they were responding to God's leading in their heart. And God would say, remember the words that I've given you. Remember the things that I've told you. Why? Because those words are like pure spiritual milk to a newborn infant. Now, we don't stay a newborn infant forever. We grow up. Or some of us do anyway. But we do. We grow up. But the Word of God never gets old. And the Word of God is always, always power. So what is new power? Romans, I can't read it, 8, 12, and 13. I need the glasses, Paula. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Okay, wanted to just see if he had all that capitalized on the screen like he has it here. You will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Power. I guarantee you that's probably not how most of you think of power. Putting to death the deeds of the body, the deeds of the flesh. Let's think about this for a second, though. Because whenever I looked at this outline, I thought the same thing. We all want to live. Now, being saved, we got terms we need to kind of deal with a little bit. Being saved, that means that we are bound for heaven, that God has taken us, he's removed the guilt of our sin, he will never hold us accountable in terms of you cannot come into my presence because you have sinned. And your sin remains. My sin has been taken away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the reason that sin is taken away and I'm saved is because I believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And I believe that he is able to save me. And I've asked him to do so. And he has done it. That's my salvation. That's the beginning of salvation. The power, though, of living is living in the knowledge, living in the idea that if you live according to the flesh, that means the things that you want to do, that you know are wrong, that you know are wrong. The things you want to say, that you know are wrong. The things that you want to ignore, that you know you shouldn't ignore. The things of God that you know that you should pay attention to, but it's easier to just let it go. Those are fleshly things because it takes effort. And it also takes us relying upon the Spirit of God for everything that we do, for everything that we are. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the power not only to know and have wisdom and knowledge, but also to live in power so that at any time that we're able to help somebody, that we take that opportunity to do so, that we do it. We do it because we love. New love. 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Let us love one another. As Christians, that's where the love kind of starts. It starts in this little circle of each other. But then it goes out into the world. If we love one another, we know that we've been born of God. Do you show your love to one another? Whenever someone has a problem, whenever someone has a need, whenever someone cries out and tells you all the bad things that's going on in their life, do you say, well, I hope things go okay for you. That's the easy way out, isn't it? Hope everything works out for you. That's making me uncomfortable, getting too close to the fire of your fire. Or do you say, I don't know what I can do for you, but whatever I can, I will. But I do know this, I can pray with you and I can pray for you. Do we take the time to love each other in that regard? Or do we just say platitudes? It's hope it all works out. Hope you're all better. Jesus himself says that you're a hypocrite if you do that. That the true love of God is action, always action. Helping, putting yourself last, and allowing those people in need to be first. So how do you have that desire in your heart to change the way that you love? Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit. And I could just stop right there almost. Walk by the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. If you walk by the Spirit of God every day, and you just ask it, how do you do that? How do you all walk by the Spirit of God every day? You walk by the Spirit of God every day by just saying, Lord, here am I. It's a new day. Thank you. I'm glad that I'm able to live and see this day. But I need your help. I need your guidance. I want you to lead me. No matter where I go, no matter what I do, I want your words in my mouth. I want your thoughts in my mind. Because once you begin to ask God for help in that direction, and you do it daily, you don't just do it once a week, you don't do it once a month, and say, well, it's like a vaccination, it's going to take, and I'm going to be good for a few months now. That's how we get carnal all over again. Our old nature just seems to take over. But when we walk with the Spirit every day, and just simply rely on him, no matter what we see, no matter what happens, rely on God, Spirit, to give us the right words, to give us the power, to give us the strength, to give us the boldness, to give us whatever we need, whenever we need it. Well, that kind of sums up everything, doesn't it? Because if you do that, God is living in you. The Holy Spirit dwells in every believer. If you simply allow him to have free reign in your life, you will be happier. You will be more satisfied. You will be, oh, so much more than you are right now. So much more. Some of you in this place may say, well, you know, I'm older. How can that be? Just like Nicodemus, how can an old person be born again? It's the power of God. It's the power of God that we trust and we believe. We say we believe. So believe. Because he will never fail you. That's the message. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy upon us. Father, help us to find newness of life every day in everything that we can come in contact with. Father, renew in us a spirit that is excited, a spirit that is wanting to be more, that you can take us as you lead us to the places of green grass, open fields, plentiful water. Father, refresh us. We ask that refreshing now in Jesus' name. Amen.